How would you like to have the complete confidence in the route that you've chosen, knowing that it's going to be the journey and the process that allows you to get everything you want? I know that's massive, but through this podcast episode, you're going to learn so much about mindset and how to block out the fear and use what people think is negative as an opportunity and an advantage to yourself. Hi, I'm Joe Krause. I am the host of the Buying Online Businesses podcast. And today, you're going to be listening to yours truly. I'm doing a solo podcast episode based on a bunch of frequently asked questions that I've been getting from people from the last sort of year around AI contents. Are content websites going to die? And if so, what happens? How do we evolve out of this AI era? And how do we use it to our advantage? How do we end up earning more money for ourselves as content creators as well, outside of Google and outside of needing search engines? I also talk about the mindset of like how long it can take you to buy a business, comparing yourself to others, how to choose the right money-making route that can allow you to replace your income. Also talk about commitment. I talk about courses, different types of courses. I talk about mindset. I talk about how it is not just about the courses and it's not just about the route, so many other things in terms of compounding, growth of yourself, believing in yourself. This is a podcast episode that I wish I had have listened to 10 years ago. I hope you enjoy it. Have you been lied to about how to increase organic traffic and grow your website? I too used to think that all you needed to do is add more content and gain backlinks. But this just doesn't work. More content and more links alone is not the answer. Nor do you need to butcher your website with generic SEO changes you picked up on some crummy online tutorial, leaving with a Frankenstein website that's slow and clunky. And because I got sick of seeing great people with great websites struggle to grow them, I decided to do something about it. I created an SEO service, which is not just about publishing content and getting links. Sure, we offer that. But first, we give you quick wins, which are SEO tweaks we can make to your website that actually boost your rankings. And then we lay out a killer SEO strategy to acquire more traffic and revenue that outranks your competitors with less content and less links. We've thoroughly tested this service on many websites before launching it and have achieved incredible results, which you'll see on our landing page I'm about to share with you. Now you can finally buy a business and give it to us to grow it for you. To check out our SEO service, head to buyingonlinebusinesses.com/SEO-services and book a call to chat with us to see what is the best growth strategy for you and your website. That's buyingonlinebusinesses.com/SEO-services, and the link will be in the description too. Question number one, will AI kill content websites? Well, this is a common fear, and a lot of people are scared of this, and it's held people back from getting into the market. And I've talked about this on other podcasts that I have, like I've got a property podcast as well, and where people don't get into the market because they've taken so long to find a unicorn investment, one that's like perfectly meets their criteria. And the same thing can happen in online business space, is that they miss out on opportunity costs. And that is the time they spend looking for that perfect investment means they've got less time in the market, which means their capital is sitting in their bank account and devaluing because of inflation. And the same thing can happen when people are wondering, is AI going to kill content websites, and wondering, should I wait around and see what happens? When the reality is your money's not getting put to work and you're at the risk of opportunity costs. And I do understand that in investing, we should be considering risks more than just the income, of course. But we need to be considering the risks of our capital not doing anything. At the same time, not buying into the fear-mongering media that is used by a lot of content creators, because fear creates a sense of like urgency to consume something and for us to our mind to dominate and control, or not dominate and control, but to at least put ourselves at ease to understand what's going on. Now, there's not too many people at ease with this whole AI thing happening. A lot of people are worried, and the reason people are worried is because they don't understand it. and that I understand what could happen and the possibilities. And what's being thrown out there is a lot of hearsay, I would suggest. And I want to explain a little bit about how I see it and the risks of AI and content and the opportunities, I think. So to answer the question, no, AI is not going to kill content websites. If anything, in my opinion, it's going to make things so much better. And we just need to use our brains more than ever for strategy. So AI is great, right? It helps us to create better content. What it's not, and what I believe it should not be used for, is a substitute for humans being a part of the content creation process. We are so needed in the content creation process, and with AI more than ever now. We need to ensure that we don't just get a keyword and slap it into the driver of a content creation tool with text to spin out content and give it to us and then just publish on our site. We are the drivers. We are the prompters of the content, and we also need to prompt the content in certain ways, gather content from different AI generative forms, and then it's up to us to compile it in a way that creates a great user experience in terms of it's very readable, it's digestible, it's great to learn, it's got humor, it's fun, and it doesn't need to have all of those things I've just mentioned. It just needs to be presented in a way that our audience would like to consume it. So that's a really big one to consider, is a lot of people are thinking, I'm just going to do what everybody's doing or follow the route of just create AI-driven content, which is great. I think it's awesome and we can use it to our ability there. But not every single person in every single niche consumes content the exact same way. So that makes, like, if we just let that happen and just have all of our content generated by AI generated tools and we just slap it on a website, means the internet's going to be a pretty boring space, that everything is, you know, similarly laid out in how we consume content, and that's boring. I think that's, you know, very, very gray sort of landscape to have looking forwards. So AI is awesome, right? Yes, it allows us to do less work. But what I believe is we need to use our brain better for strategy. And I think a lot of content site owners care too much about themselves and how to optimize their content and decrease their expenses, which I totally get, right? Because at the end of the day, most of us here listening are on a path to getting ourselves to a point that we can replace our income. So we want to spend the least amount of money on our investments and least amount of money on our sites, and the least amount of effort and work and energy, and get the maximum ROI. And I totally get that as an investor. It's really, really good. That said, by doing some of these things of trying to think, how can I save money here? We end up sometimes cutting corners, and people do end up trying to find the shortcut route. When reality is, if we play the long game and understand that if we create great content with AI and create a great user experience, and it's very great content that people love, we're going to play the long game versus not having any human part of the content creation process. I believe we should be thinking about our audience and doing what's absolutely best for them. Do you really think that, like, let's be honest, do you really think that just getting a keyword and slapping it into an AI that spits out something is what our audience really wants to read? Likely not, right? So is AI going to kill content websites? Well, no, I don't believe so. It's what it's going to do is it's going to allow people that are going to use their brains and their strategy to create better content and focus less on generating the content and finding the information and focus on the strategy on how to present it. And that's going to allow the cream to rise to the top. And what I mean by that is the cream of the, you know, the people that are doing the work to create content that is extremely consumable and fun and informative versus just the other way of, like, let's just get as much content on our site as possible. Those content websites, yes, they're going to die. It's they're going to get killed by Google and the internet and the audience, because we don't want that, right? What drives the internet is us human beings and what we actually want. So put yourselves in the shoes of your audience first. And yes, a portion of sites are going to get killed because they're going to follow the wrong strategy that used to work, and they're plugging AI into it versus what needs to be done now, which is what I've mentioned before about user experience and making sure your website is just not a content website. It's a business from end to end. What I mean from end to end is when somebody starts their journey, for example, if I'm just starting out learning to surf, I want to learn how to, where I should surf, what type of waves I should be surfing. And I want to go through the whole process of the content and the journey of me getting to a position where I can surf independently, don't need a surf instructor, I can choose my own surfboards, I know where to surf, I know how to read the forecasting conditions. And then throughout that journey, I've been helped and prompted to purchase these certain products or services, hopefully together, that have allowed me to progress all the way through. So thinking about your content site as an actual business, not just an informational piece or a library, thinking about how can you help people with presenting them the right products and the right services on their journey. You don't need to own the products yourself, and you don't need to own the services yourself. It will be helpful moving forwards for Google to see that your business is starting to sell those particular types of products and those particular types of services. And if you've already got the audience and they're going to buy it and they're in the right part of the journey, why not build that into your content website anyway and just build a real business? And think about a content website evolving into that versus let's just spin out some content because it's quick, cheap, and easy, and hopefully it gets picked up by the search engines, which it's likely not going to. Which brings me to another frequently asked question is around, what about Google's one-click search, right? The SGE, search generative experience. And this has, you know, been talked about for a while now. And what we are finding is Google is rewarding sites. And what I mean by rewarding sites is ranking sites higher and giving them more traffic, sending more traffic to these sites for sites that have the best content and the best user experience, people that are staying on the site longer. And let me give you an example, right? So first and foremost, stay focused on user experience, but let me give you a great example. If I decide to start learning to surf, I'm gonna type into Google or a search engine how to learn to surf, and if I get content that is like a step-by-step formula that's been spun out from AI, and it could be tweaked by humans a little bit. Say it's like bullet points, like how to learn to surf. Number one, find a beach break. Number two, get a board. Number three, learn to paddle. Number four, learn to stand up. And number five, progress and change your boards and the wave types that you go and surf to more advanced. If it's in a bullet point list, I mean, it's a no-brainer that that's, you know, the route, that's the journey. It's just the journey that's been laid out. But if I, you know, I'm not going to like that content or stay on that site as long as if I went to Google, typed in how to learn to surf, and then I found a site and went to it, and it was ranking for its number one piece of content, which is like beginner's guide to surfing. And then it had steps of like warnings, what you must think about. Number one, do you have ocean awareness? Do you know how to swim? If not, buddy up with a friend or get a surf instructor. Things that like a beginner wouldn't even know that they need to think about, which is what I talk about with buying online business as well, is like in this very content, and you can get meta to just down to this podcast episode, but throughout my YouTube channel, when people typically go to Flipper and these sites, like they're looking for cash flow to buy, and they're looking for a business to buy, and then they come to my content and they're like, oh, I did not even consider that the risks that are involved with these. I did not know all of these five risks that Jared has laid out. I did not know how to look for them. I did not know that I needed a due diligence framework. You know, all these sorts of things. What you're doing is you're then creating an ecosystem of great content that takes people through an awesome journey to buying a business or an awesome journey to achieving a result. And then you provide them with the tools along the way and the products and the services, right? I've got products, I've got services. I'm also recommending tools, paid, free tools and paid tools that are not my own that I have not created, but I've created an ecosystem through my content. So what I have is a media business, right? But I've got products and services as well. And that's the way we should be thinking about our content sites and our content businesses as media businesses, and then helping people along the journey with content that is so damn good that people want to stay in the ecosystem of the content, stay on the site longer, right? Interlinking to great pieces. So do you think an AI tool can really understand the nuances and the human emotions of somebody that's trying to achieve a result on learning to surf? Not necessarily, because an AI has not gone and learned to surf yet. And even if it does, like a robot, it's likely not going to have the emotions. It's going to be very logical and analytical around it. So understanding the highs and the lows that people can go through and the frustrations, which is why I'm sharing this podcast episode with you, is I can now create content that can allow you guys to understand a little bit more about the space and be at ease. So I'm getting quite meta with our content, so it's going to die. Some will if they don't follow these principles and practice that I'm talking about. So my advice is don't fall into the victim role and be consuming the doom and gloom narrative that's used out there from other content creators that, you know, it's going to get harder and harder and harder is AI just going to destroy the internet? Well, the reality is, like, come on, let's get real here. It's only going to make it better if we understand how to use it. It's a tool, right? AI is a tool. It's like any tool. It's like power, right? Some people think that powerful people are not great people. But the reality is there's powerful people that do amazing things, right? Power is a tool, right? In the right hands, it does amazing things. In the wrong hands, it doesn't do great so things. Things so great, sorry for my terrible English there. But, you know, think about people that have been powerful in the past. You've got Hitler, who used power for a very sadistic, terrible way. And then you've all got people like Gandhi, and Nelson Mandela, and great people with great power that have done great things with it, right? So AI is a tool and it gives you power, but use it in the right way that us human beings want. Now, I also have an email that I had sort of like been copying and pasting to a bunch of people when people had asked me, what do you think about this SGE, Google's Search Generative Experience, and one click to a website, like we're going to get less traffic. And that means if we get less traffic, we're going to make less money on ads and whatever products and services you have as well. Now, what I wrote in reply, and I'll just read this email to you, is starting, quote, if you owned a beer company that made you $160 billion per year, would you stop paying your workers who brewed the beer? No, you wouldn't, because they would stop working for you. So if websites can't make money from Google, they have no content, right? That would not kill the good golden goose here, which is content. Worst case, our traffic decreases each year. Fine. Build a badass email list. Create your own Discord channel. Go full Web 3.0 on this, or Web 3 on this. I do have a feeling that Web 3 might push faster and harder now due to the whole SGE, Google Search Generative Experience thing. Copyright issues. Well, they're, you know, copyright issues with the content. Well, they are using our content and linking to us as a source. They can get around it this way unless we change the laws. That's possible. That's something that was an email, so I'm just going off quote here. So let's not worry about the copywriting issues here, but let's talk about the landscape. Is the landscape, so back to the email, I'm starting again with getting back into the email, the content of it. I've written here, is the landscape changing and fast? Question mark. Yes. Do I love it? Yes, absolutely. I love it. The more it changes, the more people get left behind or stay stuck in fear or disbelief. With change comes opportunity. Tap into it. Idea here. Buy a content website, turn it into a community, gain traffic away from Google, maybe Bing or Yahoo, somewhere else. And I doubt, though, that the content is going to become better than Google, because Google gives away, you know, market share then to these other search engines. Why would they cut off the hand that feeds them? Whatever content site I buy next, I know it's going to have the best content in that space. Now, gone are the cheap and easy, fast, smart starter sites, and I'm happy about it. Let's make the internet a better space. End email. So what I'm saying here is Google makes so much money from content sites. It's ridiculous, from having ads on it as well. Now, is Google going to stop that? No. It's like I said with the beer company, if you're producing beer and your workers are producing beer, but you're making money from selling all this stuff, are you just going to stop paying the workers? No, because they're going to stop producing the beer. It's just like the same with our websites. Is Google's going to stop allowing us to put ads on their website when they make money from it and we make money from it, and we just stop it? Likely not. And if this evolves into it eventually happening, that's not so bad either, because there are options, which is Web3, where we get down to the nitty-gritty of how do content creators start to earn money independently of search engines. And I won't go into a full explanation of what Web 3.0 is. Go and Google it for yourself. But it is a way that content creators, I should say, are able to charge per piece of content. And they will get royalties as that content gets sold from one audience member to another audience member to another audience member. For example, if I create one incredible resource on how to learn to surf, somebody might buy it for $3 and they use that for, maybe it's $15. Let's just say for $15, for example, they might use that and it's like the best $15 they spent in surfing ever on their journey. And they might use that for a month or two and they go through it. They get a great experience from consuming that content and then they go away and sell it on to somebody else. Now, I will make a royalty as that gets sold on and on and on and on. It's kind of like an NFT. Well, it basically is an NFT, a non-fungible token, where I can create a bunch of content that can get sold between different audience members and I will start to gain royalty, meaning that I don't need to just produce content for search engines. People can come to me for my content independently. Obviously, we'll still use these platforms to market, but we'll start to make more money ourselves as creators, content website owners, instead of just using ads and just affiliate links, okay? So something to consider. Now, let's get into some questions around the buying of the businesses, which I think are pretty valuable to speak to. I think a lot of people want a bit of explanation around this. And as you can see, this episode's a bit ad hoc. I've just got a few talking points here. And I'm just completely off script, except for that last email, of course, that I read to you guys. So how long does it take to buy a business is the question. Well, how long's a piece of string? I know, it's such a stupid answer. And the question's not stupid, though. The question is amazing. But I don't think we should be asking this question. I think we should be asking a different question in a different way. Not about time, because if we measure time, then it's a flawed approach to achieving a goal. And I'll give you an example. Say, for example, there's a person that is single. They don't have a job, but they've got money and they've got a lot of time, right? And that person may be able to buy a business in 5 months. Now, let's take somebody that's got four kids on the other end of the spectrum, four kids, a full-time job, a wife that they need to go on dates with, don't need to, but they get to go on dates with, they get to spend time with their kids and, you know, full-time job, and they're trying to do a side hustle on the side or make or replace their income on the side, that person has far less time. So the amount of work that they can do in a in say a 5 month period won't be the same amount that a single person could do that doesn't have a job and has a lot of money and is ready to invest, right? So basing ourselves and comparing ourselves to others based on how much time we have is a flawed system. So what I like to tell people is not to measure time, is to measure inputs, right? And this is the same thing for any goal, right? Even if it's like comes into fitness. If you have a goal of like, I want to lose 10 kilos in 10 months, well, you could do that in 3 months with the same amount of inputs, right? The same amount of training, I should say, and the same, typically the same diet, typically. Each person's body is going to be very different. There's some nuances here, but you get the point. Like, you could achieve that 10 kilo loss in 10 months, or you could do it in 3 months, or you could do it in 4 months, or you could do it in 6 months with doing the same amount of workload. So it doesn't matter how long it could take you to buy it. It just depends on how much time you have to spend and how much commitment you've got towards it. So typically I find people buy businesses after doing 20 to 40 due diligences when they've got my training. If they don't have my training, and yes, I'm being biased because I know my training is like top notch, world class. And I get told this regularly by people that join. They come in and they're so damn excited to join. Like, we just get messages into our group here saying, I'm so excited to join. I finally found my people. I'm in the right place. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. If you haven't joined, get on board. Now, without my training and doing it yourself, you might fumble around and have to do due diligence on like 100 businesses and still not have those that advice or that guidance on what a good business looks like yet, right? Because we do review people's due diligence and business before they even make offers, right? So how long it can take will be dependent on a couple, like definitely the inputs, but also the advice that you get along the way as well. Mentors can shorten that. So I can't give you a time frame. It just depends on how committed you are. Now, the next thing that I want to talk about, mostly it's going to be mindset stuff and making, well, actually let's come to the mindset stuff after I mention this, which is the question on how much should I spend on my first online business. I believe you should listen to my podcast on why size matters. It's episode number 234. Very simple and easy one to remember. Episode 234. So you can type into Google Jared Krause size matters, or Jared Krause or buying online businesses episode 234. Listen to this. That's going to help you get to the next step on how much you should spend on buying a business and what size business you should buy, because that is a common question a lot of people have, and I dedicated a full episode to it, and it's one of my most popular episodes, to be honest, for beginners. Now let's move to the mindset. With the mindset stuff, let's think about your goal here, guys. Your goal, most people listening to this, is your goal is to replace your income, right? And to do wealth creation. Right, there is a portion of people that want to replace, and there's a portion of people that already have some money that want to build more wealth. So on the internet, there's a gazillion ways that you can make money online. And it can be confusing at times. So, and for me, I consider it was like a little bit easier for me, because when I started, it was like you could create a website and get SEO traffic and do the whole content site thing, or you could do e-com, or you could, you know, do drop shipping, which is basically e-com, or SaaS and membership, which is still like the overarching business models, but you've got different nuances and you've got different ways. And now there's like more social media channels and ways you can make money on TikTok and Fiverr and all these different things. And there's so much content created out there by a bunch of content creators that have maybe done this in one vertical and made a little bit of success, and they've tried a bunch and they're just making a lot of content and they haven't stayed in their lane, in one lane. And their one lane that they may have stayed in is just their YouTube channel. And they've basically mostly made money from that. I'm a bit different where I started where I made my money and replaced my income from businesses first. So how do you know which out of all of these things to choose? Because there's so many ways you can make money online. How do you choose which one? Well, first and foremost, understand that there is no, like, when you come to making money online, it takes time to build wealth sustainably. So pick something that you can commit to so you don't relapse into a job again and then lose all hope. So what happens here is a lot of people will try a bunch of different things, and it's the shiny object syndrome. And now when that happens is like, and I've seen this happen with people buying a business, is they've jumped in and they've seen a podcast episode or some case study that somebody bought a business in 3 weeks or 3 months or 6 months, and they've compared themselves to this person that was single, that had a lot of time, wasn't working full time, and they just could just go away and crush inputs. And then they, because they didn't achieve that result, they feel like a failure, and then they go and try something else. And then that didn't work, so they try something else. And they're trying to have this, they're trying to achieve these things really, really fast because they want to get out of their job really, really fast. And I totally get that. Like, I wanted to get out of my job as soon as I possibly could. I know that when you're listening, guys, your mind's made up. You're done with your job and you want to just get into, you know, making money online as fast as possible so you don't have to go to that dreaded job. I get it. The very tricky thing is when you do force yourself into trying to get a result and you set an expectation on yourself, like a time expectation based on somebody else that has achieved success, not based on the average. And if you don't achieve it, what happens with your mindset is that you feel less confident about yourself. And you also, with that less confidence, then what happens is that can become a negative spiral where you might go, okay, I couldn't achieve this. And you believe it's the route that you chose is not the right route for you, or that route doesn't work. When the reality is that it will work, and it has worked, and it does work for so many people. But you just think it's about the route. It's not about you. And then you go away and do it again and again. You do it for, maybe you try to make money on TikTok, start a social media thing on TikTok. Maybe you try to do it on Instagram. Maybe you try drop shipping. Maybe you try an Amazon, build an Amazon business, and then you come to buying an online business. So you've chosen, like, for example, 5 routes here, and you've spent 6 months doing each one, right? So you've got 30 months there, you know, let's just say 2.5 years that you've been trying to achieve this and get a result, but you've gone from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next. And every 6 months you realize, this route doesn't work. But the reality is each of those 5 options do work. Absolutely. And it's not about the route. It's about you. And this is going to be hard. This is the truth. This is going to be hard for a lot of people to hear. I'm going to say it because I think you need to hear it. And not to laugh, I laugh at myself because I needed to hear this, and I did this myself in the early days. It's not the route that fails you. It's typically you that fails you. You and your mindset, and you and your approach, and you not sticking to something long term and committing. So let's talk about commitment soon. How do you choose the route, the right route for you? Well, what I believe is gather all of the ones that you think are good. And I'm biased to buying an online business. And I guess most of you guys are already, you know, here because you're like, yep, I've got this one route. It's going to be buying an online business. So let's say it is about buying online business. Say you choose that one route, and it doesn't need to be. Like, if you chose to make money on YouTube or e-com or whatever it is, this can work in that too. But if you choose this one route, you can make any of these paths work as long as you choose one. But don't think about it in the terms of time perspective of I need to achieve a result in a certain amount of time. Because what someone can do in 4 years can take another person 8 years to do, right? I've mentioned this before. It's the same as the time thing that I mentioned at the start. With somebody that can achieve something in 5 months versus somebody that might take them years and years. It's based on the inputs. So then how do you choose which path? what I believe you should do is find the five or whatever it is, and then listen and sit and contemplate and don't think about it. I don't believe that thinking is logically, that can help. But after the thinking, what's more valuable is your gut instinct and your heart. And ask your heart, ask yourself, what path seems like the one that resonates with me best? And say you narrow it down to two. There might be one, say you've got two routes. There might be one that feels expansive and feels like, yes, this is the one, and it feels very expansive in your chest. And there might be another one that doesn't feel expansive, and maybe it even opposite. It feels a little bit like contained, a little bit more stressful, or a little bit not as exaggerated in a good way. It may be exaggerated in a way that doesn't feel right for you. And it may feel a little bit different depending on how you feel things. Everybody's different. But the one that seems a bit more expansive, a bit more light, and you're a bit more excited for, typically that's going to be the one to choose. Once you've chosen that one, stick to it, commit to it, find a mentor that teaches that route, hire them, and work until you're successful. Work on it until you're successful. And don't count time. Don't go, okay, I'll give myself 4 years. Oh, okay, I'll give myself 8 years. Oh, okay, I'll give myself 10 years. Oh, okay, I'll only give myself 6 months. It's a flawed system. Time is a flawed system when you're counting it this way. Do it until you become successful, because the growth comes from the compounding that you have in that route, in that actual space. For example, when you leave TikTok, or say you build an e-commerce business after a year and it doesn't work, and you leave, all the compounding you've built up of that education, that learning, and what you know about e-com, it's all gone. Not all gone, I shouldn't say it's completely gone, but the compounding that you've built is like you've stopped that snowball from growing, and then you move to something else and you have to build a new snowball from scratch. So that's something to consider, and this is one of the biggest reasons people fail, I believe, is because we have this short attention span now, and I would call it super gratification, where we need to get gratification from what we do as fast as we possibly can. If we can't, then we're on to the next thing. I'd believe that people that play long-term games or long-term people are the ones that are going to win in this game and in wealth creation, because the compounding of it all. Warren Buffett made, I think it was like, I'm butchering this actual, these quotes and these stats, but I think it was like 90% of his wealth in only the last few years, right? Or 5 years. Go and look up that quote, but it's significant, right? He made most of his billions of dollars in the last few years. So stick to it. Now, what's the hardest part of the journey? Maybe it's what I've mentioned, right? I believe it is what it's mentioned, is the commitment, is sticking to the path, committing to that growth. Now, what drives that commitment and what allows you to keep that commitment is the hardest part of the journey, which is mindset and committing to yourself. Because the courses and the lessons are super important, right? Like my course is, like I said to you, it's world class. It gets people result. It's super important. But they're easy to get. You can just go and pay and get that. You can just buy them, right? But the mindset you need, this is something you need to build for yourself. So you can learn how to build that mindset from people like me and maybe from other people, but it's the hardest muscle to build. It's the hardest muscle to build. And Tony Robbins' mentor, Jim Rohn, this is back in the day, like I'm talking in like, must have been in the 40s or something like that, when Tony Robbins's mentor, Jim Rohn, said to him, if you want to be a millionaire, don't become a millionaire to make $1 million. Become a millionaire to become the person you need to become to be the person that makes $1 million. And that, like, that is far more important. This is coming back to the journey. Is the value, and enjoy the process, and the journey is more important than the destination. Because when you get to the point that you have replaced your income, you have built yourself to become the person that doesn't need to work anymore, which is super exciting. And I believe that's a better destination than the I don't need to work anymore. I know it might be hard to believe because I was there and I was like, no, just get me out of this damn job. But know and trust in yourself that, and this is going to help you stick to and commit to one path of buying a business, is that it's going to allow you to become a far better person. And when you become a far better person, you become more magnetic and opportunities come to you. You draw these opportunities into you. You don't need to chase anymore, right? Like what you're doing when you're trying to get out of your job is like you're chasing and you're trying to keep your head above water and you're trying to chase these dollars and chase this money and chase these opportunities and bring them in and make something of yourself. When you have done that, you become a far more whole and healed person, and these opportunities will attract you, and then it will become about not saying yes as much. It'll become about saying no more. And that's really, really exciting. And yeah, I've rabbited on this podcast episode for a long period of time. And I believe it's valuable. I believe that you guys hopefully got a lot from this. And if you did, please do let me know. Leave me a comment, email me. Ideally, leave me a comment on YouTube. And if you haven't yet, please leave a review on the Apple Podcast or Stitcher or Spotify, wherever you listen to, because I know there's people that have listened to my podcast and binge watched like 260 episodes now, listen to every single one and haven't yet left a review or a comment. Guys, if you're one of those persons that has listened to a minimum of 20, please, 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 I urge you and I encourage you, please send some love back. A lot goes into this podcast, a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of resources, and a lot of energy from myself and the team, and we're doing it and putting it out there for love, and we would love to get some love back. So send some love, guys. Keep the love alive, keep it going around, and I'll speak to you all of you guys soon.